open us in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. I'm thankful for each person that's here this morning. I'm thankful, Lord, that we can come here and worship you. Thankful for the freedoms that we have to do so. And we're thankful, Lord, for the people that went before us that fought for those freedoms. I just pray now, Lord, as we spend time in your word, that you would be glorified in it and we would be inspired by it. So I'm thankful again for everything you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today we're starting a series in Psalm called There's a Psalm for That. And the concept is we're dealing with our emotions. Now, studies show that we are capable of experiencing and expressing hundreds of different emotions during the course of one day. Some emotions are negative and we have to deal with and learn how to cope with those negative emotions. Some are positive and we have to learn to use those in ways that benefit the people around us and ways that bring glory to God. Now, the book of Psalms is actually a collection of 150 ancient Hebrew poems, prayers, and songs, and they're intended to guide believers in worship, in emotional expression, and in faith. And it spans over centuries of Israel's history, and it's really an exploration of human emotions ranging from deep lament and sorrow to joyous praise. So in this series, what we're going to do is we're going to investigate different emotions that are dealt with and displayed in the Psalms. Now, I'm not going to start on Psalm 1 and just go through. We got 15 weeks. I'm going to pick different emotions and pick a psalm that goes with it. Today, what we're going to do is we're going to start with the positive emotion of being amazed. Now, there are things in life that we see and we experience and we say, wow, that's amazing, right? Unbelievable, unreal. Just this past year, we witnessed some amazing feats that were accomplished by people. Some of you might remember some months ago, Alex Hanold, he free climbed that 1,667 foot tower in Taiwan. Did anybody see that? When I watched it on YouTube, like I'm kind of afraid of heights a little bit, my legs were tingling. I was like, oh, you know, emotionally responding to the fact that this guy is scaling this 1,667 foot tower. Sebastian Saw, he ran the London Marathon. This just happened, ran the London Marathon in 1 hour, 59 minutes and 30 seconds, breaking the previous record by 11 seconds. Now, just to put this into perspective, the guy averaged a 4 minute and 33 second mile for 26 miles. I would put money that none of you can do that in 1 mile, okay? 13 miles an hour this guy was traveling. Amazing, right? The Artemis II with four astronauts traveled 250,000 miles away from the Earth and orbited the far side of the moon. Amazing feat that we can do this. And I know some of you are like, no, that was a scam. yeah, well, it's amazing that they fooled all of us, okay? Here's the thing. There are amazing things that happen in this world, and we stop and we say, oh, for that moment, for a few minutes, we're amazed, right? But the truth is, you and I, as believers in Jesus, should stop and be amazed by him every day. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to study Psalm 65, in which David is amazed by the Lord. The setting of the psalm is most likely temple worship. It's probably a song. And what you'll notice, a lot of the psalms being songs, when we read them, you're like, this doesn't seem like a song. The original language they were written in was Hebrew. So, you know, it kind of makes a little more sense, the cadence and the way the songs kind of go together. But there are three main areas in which David is amazed by God. He's amazed by the Lord. And the first is this. He's amazed by God's grace. Now, we should be amazed by God's grace. And biblical grace is defined as this. The free and unmerited favor of God. Meaning this. God does things for us that we did not work for. And essentially, we do not deserve. Okay, God does things for us that we didn't work for. And we do not necessarily deserved. First thing is, this should amaze us. This should amaze us. And in Psalm 65, verse 1, it says, praises due to you, O God, in Zion, and to you shall vows be performed. God deserves our praise, and here we see David says in Zion, which is a reference to the hill where the temple sits in Jerusalem and where the presence of God dwelt. Remember in the Old Covenant, this was where the presence of God dwelt. Now, to pay a vow signifies the people owed praise to God for what he has done. So in this psalm, it seems that there was some sort of specific prayer answer that David said this. Now, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been amazed by a prayer that you had that was answered? Have you ever been amazed by a prayer that you had that was answered? Now, obviously, when I say a prayer that you had that was answered, what's your immediate default is, if it was yes, then it was answered, right? You say, okay, yeah, it was answered. It was yes, God answered my prayers. And if it's no, you're like, God didn't answer my prayer. He might have, but it might have been the answer you weren't looking for. But the truth is this, if we've ever been amazed by a prayer that we've had that God has answered, how did you respond? Did you feel that you owed God praise? Now, I know I say this a lot, and it's mostly because we're American Christians, but we do have an entitled mindset and we expect everything to go our way. So a lot of times we pray and we forget to praise after the prayer is answered. We kind of are like, that's right. That's the way things should go. I'm a good person. Everything should go my way. I ask God, of course this is going to happen. But do you ever feel the need to actually praise? Do you feel the need to actually worship him? And I'm going to suggest this. If you didn't, maybe you're not amazed by him. Maybe you're not amazed by him. Maybe you're taking him for granted. This psalm is here to remind you, be amazed. Praise is due to God. Praise is due to him. Then it goes on to say this. O you who hear prayer, to you shall all flesh come. Now God hears our prayer by his grace. And David is saying not only the prayers of Israel, but the prayers of all flesh, meaning all people can come to him. I think this is a very important note that David notices this, because the Jewish people have often had, and even to this day, have problems with the fact that God also loves other people, that God loves people outside of Israel. God used Israel to reveal his plans of salvation to all nations, but at times, when you read the scriptures, Israel thought a little too highly of themselves and started to be amazed with themselves rather than God and the grace that he gives. And the perfect example of the fact that God's grace is open to and displayed to all people is what we celebrate here every Sunday, the gospel message. The fact that we are all sinners in need of a Savior. Jesus is that Savior who came and died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. Jesus rose from the grave to prove that he is God. And Jesus said, all who believe will have eternal life. As it says in Ephesians, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And it's a gift of God, not of yourselves, so that no one can boast. It's a gift of God given to us as long as we receive it. It's open to all people. So we should be amazed by that. We should be amazed. And David kind of talks about that. And he's saying, you, all flesh should come to you. So then he goes on and says, when iniquities prevail against me, you atone for our transgressions. Now, at first read, like I did, you might be thinking, oh, the first part's talking about people sinning against me. When iniquities come against me, sins come against me. But then when we connect it with the second part of the verse, it becomes clear that this verse is talking about how our sinful nature or our flesh wages war against us. And sometimes we give in and sin, but God in his grace atones for our sins. That means he covers our sins. He forgives our sins. God in his grace is willing to actually forgive you and I. So when that battle is going on in between us, between the flesh and the spirit, and we give into the flesh and sin, God is saying, David's saying, when iniquities prevail against me, you're still willing to forgive me. You're still willing to forgive me. But then he goes on in verse 4, it says, blessed is the one you choose and bring near to dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, the holiness of your temple. Now, when it comes to God's grace, verses like this can be controversial. And the reason is it says, God is the one who chooses us. Now, if you have more questions about that, you can go to Romans chapter 9 through 11. You could actually go on our website and look up the sermon archive when I preach that. Like, I think it was like 10 years ago, so you can see a younger 10-year me preaching this stuff, okay? But some people think, oh, I chose God. And technically, you did, kind of. But you couldn't choose God unless he was pursuing you. Do you realize that? And some of you are saying, no, that's not the way it works. Let's see what Jesus says. No one can come to me unless, what? The Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. Now, some people have problems with this. Problems arise when we start to question God in choosing people. But then look at the rest of what that verse 4 says. Blessed is the one who you choose and bring near to dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house and the holiness of your temple. So our response to God choosing us by his grace should be, we're satisfied with the fact that God is good and that God is holy. So if you're doubting that God is good and God is holy, David then goes on and says this. By awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness. O God of our salvation, the hope of all the ends of the earth, of the farthest seas. You might recognize some of this. The worship band did a great job picking a hymn that I didn't even know existed from Psalm 65 when I told them I was doing Psalm 65. But anytime you're in doubt, be amazed by the grace of God through all the past answers to prayer. Anytime you're in doubt, be amazed by your salvation. Anytime you're in doubt, be amazed by the hope that we have in Jesus. There's no bounds to his hope. Now remember, Paul said in Romans 8:32, he said, he who did not spare his own son, how will he not also graciously give us all things? By awesome deeds, you answer us. God is continually doing awesome things in our life. So if you ever doubt him, if you're ever wondering, does he love me? Does he care? By the awesome deeds, he answers us. We should be amazed by that. Now, the second area in which David is amazed by God, the first is he is amazed by God's grace. The second is he is amazed by God's power. The one who by his strength established the mountains, being girded with might, who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the peoples. So the creation is what we call general revelation. Romans 1 talks about this. It says people are without excuse to know that there is actually a creator God because of creation. We can all see and experience creation. The majestic mountains are a testament to the power of God, and we should be amazed by that. That's what this passage is saying. In his power, he can calm the seas. In his power, he can calm the seas. This also shows his power over creation. Not only does he make it, but he has power over it. The tumult of the peoples is the shouts of the masses of the people, which shows that God has power to bring all nations in submission to himself. And some of you remember when we were studying the end times in Revelation and Daniel, that God, in fact, will eventually do that. There is no created thing, there's no people group, and no nation that is more powerful than God. So then he goes on and says this, so that those who dwell at the ends of the earth are in awe at your signs, amazed at your signs. You make the going out of the morning and the evening to shout for joy. His power through creation is on display for all to see every morning, every evening. The intended reaction to God's power should be amazement. And with amazement should come joy, right? Should come joy. And here is currently what is happening in our culture. People say that creation has no creator. People teach that creation has no creator. When people believe that lie, here's what it does. It attempts to steal the power from God, And they either say there's no God, or if there is a God, he doesn't have anything to do with that. He doesn't have power. Now, the result is no joy. The result is no joy. Because when we identify the power, we have joy. Now, think about this for a second. And most of you are living through this or have lived through this already. We bring up a generation or generations of kids and tell them, everything around you is here by chance. In fact, you are here by chance. You have no purpose. You're just here for a time. Then you return to the dirt. Nothing you do really makes a difference. There's no powerful creator that made you. There's no powerful creator that loves you. There's no powerful creator that has a plan for you. Do you know if anyone is wondering why depression is up 10% among teenagers? I could probably point to this very reason. Because if you bring up a generation of kids and tell them, you don't matter. Nothing matters. It's just all here by chance. There's no real purpose. Yay! Is that joy? Of course not. But knowing and believing that we have a creator God that placed us all here for a purpose. In the book of Acts, it talks about that. He placed each person in the place that they would be so that they would reach out towards God, so that they would reach out towards him. The truth is, we all have a purpose. And one of those purposes is to bring glory to God. And the way that we do that is being amazed by his power. So next time you see a sunset, you observe created things, big and small. I know a lot of times we're impressed. Like you go up to a mountain, you're like, whoa, big mountains. Look at the ants, right? Look at the tiny little ants. In fact, for you lazy people, the Proverbs say, go to the ant, you sluggard, and see how they work, okay? So we're supposed to be amazed by the things that God has made. Be amazed. Sing for joy that we have a powerful God that not only created it, he also sustains it. Don't take it for granted. Stop. Look around. Be amazed. You know, we have a culture where, unfortunately, so much of our time and energy and effort is being pulled into just sitting and looking at screens and devices. And the idea of going out in nature and experiencing that has become something that's a lot, it's lost with the upcoming generations and even this generation right now that you are actually experiencing. The final area that David is amazed by God is his provision. His provision. Says this, you visit the earth and water it, you greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water, you provide their grain, for so you have prepared it. Our culture uses this term Mother Nature, right? To attribute seasons and weather. Oh, Mother Nature. But David's telling us here, it's actually God who is in control of these things, and they're intended to provide food, water, all that we need to sustain us. We get used to it, and most of us are not amazed by it. The seasons change, we're not amazed by it. Rain happens, we're not amazed by it. In fact, many of you, and I did not look at the weather report when I picked this, okay? But many of you have complained, right? Today. Think about it, this weekend. And some of you are like, it was 95 the other day. Now it's raining and I had a barbecue. Well, you know what? There was probably a farmer like, Lord, it's 95, we need rain. Guess who won, okay? And guess who wins in a couple of weeks when that food hits your table, right? God provides. God provides. Do you thank him for it? How many of you got up this morning and said, thank you for the rain? Some of you guys who have a broken sprinkler system might have, but here's the thing. We need to identify that God is the powerful creator and the provider of all this. And he keeps things going. He keeps things going. You know, a lot of people are confused by that. They don't look at the creator for that. They look and they wonder about the creation. You know, you ever watch any of those nature shows? It's got the narrator. It's usually got like a British accent or something. And they're like, the bumblebee. We don't know what, right? And they go through this whole thing and they're like, we don't know why. They should hire me. I'll tell you why, okay? I'll just open up the scriptures and tell you what's going on. God is the one who does all this. So then it goes on to say this. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening with showers, and blessing its growth. You know, a lot of times we rely on modern day science to explain to us how weather systems and all this, and that's fine. That's fine. We like to know how things work, but we can't forget to attribute the provision of God to him. We can't forget to do that. We can't look to the world for the answers that God has already given us. Science is our friend. It proves the things of God. But when we take God out of the equation and say it's by chance or people or whatever else we're attributing to, that is a huge problem, and it creates no joy. It creates no praise. It steals that from God who it is due. You know, many of the Psalms have creation as a topic, and we'll probably get to some of those in this study. But the reason is because it's what we see and we all experience. It displays God's power. It displays his power. It displays his provision to us. So like the hymn, you crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with abundance. The concept here is something that farmers would clearly understand. Harvest time, the crowning moment. All my work for all these months, and there's finally a harvest. You think they're happy when that happens? They probably shout for joy when that happens because it's harvest time. It's the crowning moment. The wagon tracks here is an image of God passing through the land to bring the growth. Now think about this. This is David saying, this is who did it. This is the one I'm giving praise and glory to. This is the one that I should be amazed by. Not the good work of the farmer or the specialty of the field, but I should be amazed by God. Then it says this. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and they sing together for joy. David here is amazed by the fact that everywhere he looks, he sees the provision of God. These things are all working together in a kind of like a song of praise together. You know, sometimes you and I, especially as American Christians, we fall into the trap of thinking we're not provided for. Maybe we're not amazed by what God has blessed us with. Maybe we've taken things for granted. Maybe we rarely thank him or give him glory. In fact, sometimes we complain about what we do have and we complain about what we don't have. Do you think God appreciates that? Do you think he appreciates that? It's like giving a nice gift to someone and them just being like, whatever. And you're like, okay, next time I'm saving my money. Right? Thankfully, the Lord doesn't treat us that way. Situations and things in life change, don't they? Sometimes we feel more provided for. Sometimes we feel less provided for. But you know what doesn't change? The one who provides. The one who provides. You know, Paul says in Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that? Do you praise him for it? Do you realize that what's going on in your life, whatever is happening right now, what you're provided with and what you're lacking, all those things are under the hand of God. He's communicating to you in some way, shape, or form. Maybe in the provision, he's saying, praise me. Maybe in the lack of provision right now, he's saying, ask me. I don't know what God is doing personally in your own life right now, but I know this, he deserves the praise. He deserves the praise because he's a gracious God, he's a powerful God, and he's a God who provides. Now, as we observe communion this morning, here's what I want you to think about. Obviously, the provision of God's grace. what Jesus has done for us. The fact that he laid down his life, his blood was shed for us, his body was given up for us. So each week here, we remember that. The gospel message, what Christ has done. But the second thing I want you to think about is, are you really amazed by the things of God? Or have you just become callous for just how your life is? Have you just become callous because the culture has kind of given you a different narrative than what the scriptures have to say? Do you actually take time in your life to think about these things? You know, the battle that's going on right now is really for our attention. You do realize that, right? It's for our attention. We've all been fashioned with these devices and TV screens and computer screens that take up so much of our time, and we're interested in these things. And I'm not saying these things are necessarily bad, but they can be very negative in your life if you don't actually have the time to really think about who God is and what he's done. If you don't take time each day to just think about things like the grace of God towards you, the power of God around you, the provision of God that's coming your way. So maybe this time is just a gift for you, that we're going to have a time of silence, a gift for you to just actually think like, hey, you know what? I got to get my mind straight. I'm not praising him. I'm not amazed by him. I'm amazed by everything else, and I take everything that God has done for granted. I don't think that that's the way God wants you to respond to him. So I'm going to give you a few moments of silence, but in these few moments of silence, I want you to, you know, ask God for help in these areas, and maybe one of those requests can be, God, help me commit to having more silence in my life. Help me commit to really just being amazed by you, no matter what is going on around me, rain or shine, provision or no provision, whatever is going on, I just want to be amazed by who you are and what you've done. So I'll give you those few moments and then we'll partake together.